Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we present Let the Bible Speak. It's good to have you join us today as we spend time around the Word of God, preaching Christ in all His fullness to men and women in all their need.
We would like to welcome you to our service today, and we trust that the Lord will come and meet with us and grant us His blessing as we gather around His Word. For our scripture reading, we are turning to the prophecy of Isaiah and the chapter 53. We're commencing to read at the first one, and we read this very familiar chapter together. Isaiah asks the question, "Who hath believed our report, or our doctrine, or our teaching? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he, that is, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Christ, our Saviour, the servant Son, for he shall grow up before him, that is, before God, as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors." Amen. Let us unite our hearts together in prayer. Let us pray. O God, our Father, we thank Thee for Thy holy word that we have read together. And we thank Thee for the one about whom we have been reading, God's servant Son, the Messiah, the Christ, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, for the one who was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, and upon whom the chastisement of our peace was laid, and by whose stripes we are healed. Loving Father, as we come to meditate today upon Thy holy word, we pray for Thy blessing and we pray for Thy help. May the Holy Spirit of God illuminate the sacred page, enlighten our minds and hearts, and help us to hear what God the Lord would say unto us just now. We pray in our Savior's name. Amen. The scripture text I should like to direct your attention to today is found in the first chapter of the book of Isaiah, and the verses 18 through 20. The Lord is the speaker, and he says in verse 18, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." And I'd like to direct your attention in particular to that 18th verse of this first chapter of Isaiah. God says, "Come now, and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Our text for today must number amongst the most comforting and encouraging texts in all of the Bible. It is so because it sets forth the immensity of God's grace and the fullness of God's mercy to rebellious sinners. How patient God has been and is toward sinful man. From the first sin in Eden's garden until the present hour, he has been slow and reluctant to inflict penalty upon sinful men. Peter tells us in his second epistle, chapter 3, verse 9, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." And the psalmist David says in the 103rd Psalm, in the verses 8 through 10, "The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He has not dealt with us after our sins, nor awarded us according to our iniquities." Throughout the New Testament, as well as the Old Testament, remission of sins is a primary doctrine. In our scripture reading in Isaiah 53, we are told, "But he," that is God's servant Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, "was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes are his wounds. We are healed." In Luke chapter 24, verses 46 through 47, Jesus said to his disciples, "Thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." And here in our text for today, we have this wonderful mercy and grace of God to sinners set forth and a gracious invitation given. "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." This invitation was extended, and these words were spoken to some of the greatest sinners that ever lived. They were amongst the worst of sinners. These people, though they were outwardly religious, yet inwardly they were wicked and sinful. Their religion and worship was all empty ceremony. Even their solemn meeting, verse 13 of this first chapter tells us, was iniquity. The context of our text reveals the extent of their sinfulness. In verse 2 of our chapter, we are told that they had rebelled against God. Hear, O heavens, and give ear, O earth, for the Lord hath spoken. I have nourished and brought up children, and they have rebelled against me. Is there anything more grieving than an ungrateful, rebellious child? Such are the breaking of their parents' hearts. Verse 3 tells us concerning these people that their actions were worse than that of the beast. The ox knoweth his owner, and the ass his master's crib. But Israel doth not know, my people doth not consider. And again in verse 4 we read that they were a people laden, borne down with sin. Ah, sinful nation, complains God. A people laden with iniquity, a seed of evildoers, children that are corruptors. They have forsaken the Lord. They have provoked the Holy One of Israel unto anger. They are gone away backward. And in verses 5 and 6, we are told that they were totally and completely and utterly corrupt and depraved. The whole head is sick and the whole heart faint, from the sole of the foot even unto the head. There is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. And so they were totally corrupt, totally depraved, as wicked as could be. Verses 7 through 9 tells us that because of their corruption, they had become the objects of God's righteous judgment and were in danger of being totally destroyed and wiped out, as were the cities of the plain in Lot's day. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burnt with fire. Your land, strangers defile it in your presence, and it is desolate as overthrown by strangers. And the daughter of Sion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom, and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. These people were guilty of the most grievous and heinous of crimes. Verse 15 of this first chapter tells us, when ye spread forth your hands, saith the Lord, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. The expression full of blood denotes crime and guilt of a high order. It denotes all heinous sins. The persecution in particular of God's prophets, especially as the Lord tells us in Matthew 23, verse 35. So these people had gone to the depth of depravity and wickedness and sin. And it's hard to conceive of a people more sinful and guiltier than these people. Yet it was to such and to these very people that God Almighty, against whom they had sinned so wickedly, said, come now, and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And of course, what God said to sinful Israel, he says to all sinners everywhere. This invitation goes out to the filest of the file, the most wicked sinners on God's earth. God says, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. You'll notice what it is that God promises to the sinner here. In a word, it is an offer of salvation to the uttermost. God offers a full, perfect, complete pardon to even the chief of sinners if they will return in repentance and faith unto him. The pardon which God offers covers the worst kinds of sin. Sin in all its forms: blasphemy, idolatry, all forms of impurity, even murder itself, blood guiltiness. This pardon extends to the most secret thoughts of the mind, to the most inward motives of the soul, to the slightest choices of the will, extending to the thoughts and things which have been overlooked and omitted, as well as to those which have been entertained and wrought. God's offer involves not merely the deliverance from the penalty of sin, but a full restoration to the divine favor and actual holiness. Though your sins be as scarlet, says God, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. The scarlet becomes as snow. That is, the deep fixed stain which no human power could remove shall be taken away. In other words, sin shall be pardoned and the soul be made pure. The crimson will be as wool, our text tells us. That is, as wool not dyed, or from which the color is removed. Though your sins appear as deep stained and as permanent as the fast color of crimson in wool, yet they shall be removed as if that stain could not be taken away from the wool. When God forgives the sinner, he not only forgives their sin, he forgets their sin. Now, there is a sense, of course, in which God cannot forget anything, for God is omniscient. God knows all things, and he cannot forget anything. But he said to forget in the sense that he never again calls our sin to remembrance. When he forgives us, he puts it away completely and never again recalls it. He tells us in Jeremiah 31, verse 34, I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. That's God says. And again in Isaiah 43, verse 25, God says, I will not remember their sins. God will not bring them up again. They're gone. They're wiped out. They're forgotten. They are cast into the sea of his forgetfulness. They're cast behind his back. We are told, the prophet Micah writes in Micah 7, verse 19, he will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depth of the sea. While Isaiah says in Isaiah 38 and 17, thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Once more, when God forgives sins and forgets our sins, he removes them from us as far as the east is from the west. So says the psalmist David in Psalm 103, verse 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Now the east and the west never meet. And our sins, when forgiven by God, are not only forgotten and plunged into the depth of the sea of his forgetfulness and cast behind his back, but they're removed from us, never to meet on us again. They're totally gone. They're totally removed. What a precious promise. What a wonderful invitation this is. And we can rest assured what God says, God will do. We read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, verses 50 through 54, of our Lord Jesus' arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we read there, then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. And behold, one of them, that was Peter, which was with Jesus, stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest's and smote off his ear. Then said Jesus to him, put up again thy sword into his place. For all they that take the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? And then he asks this question, but how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled, that thus It must be. So the Lord Jesus would sooner go to the cross and all that that involved, all that grief and sorrow and misery and suffering that he had to endure on the cross. When his soul was made an offering for sin, he would rather go to the cross than to allow God's word to be broken or fail. So, if God says to us, if you come to me, I'll wash away your sin, I'll make it whiter than the snow, we can rest assured that he will do what he has said. You'll notice the gracious invitation. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Perhaps there are some difficulties in your mind today and in your heart about this wonderful offer of God. You find it hard to believe. It is hard to believe. It's hard to take in. And perhaps you have difficulties with it. Things you don't understand. Well, God says, let us reason together. Bring them all out. Bring your problems out. Let us talk them out. Let us talk them through. You ask, well, must sin not be punished? Must God's wrath not be appeased and God's justice satisfied? God answers, most certainly, that must be the case. But then that is why the Lord Jesus came into the world. So John in his first epistle, chapter 3, verse 5, tells us, and ye know that he, Jesus, was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. So here's why he came into the world, to take away our sin, to deal with the problem of our sin, to satisfy the justice of God on our behalf and obtain salvation for us. Peter, in his first epistle, speaking of our Lord Jesus, writes, chapter 2, verse 24, who, that is Jesus Christ, his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. Yes, God's justice must be satisfied. Yes, God's wrath must be appeased. Yes, sin must be punished. But all this was accomplished for us by our Lord Jesus on Calvary's cross. Again, you may ask, is there nothing at all for me to do? The answer is simply no. For Jesus said on the cross with his last breath, it is finished. The work of redemption, the work of salvation is complete. All that was necessary to our salvation, Jesus has performed and completed. He has provided a perfect satisfaction for our sins. He became our substitute and died in our stead that we might be forgiven and have everlasting life. He was made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So that now all that remains for us to do is to repent and believe in him as our Savior. If we are willing for a change of life and heart, we may come unto him and be saved. In verses 19 and 20 of this first chapter of Isaiah, we read, if ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. Perhaps you're saying, but may I come? Me? Me personally? I can understand anybody else coming, but may I come? Again, we answer, yes, you may, without hesitation. In Revelation 22, verse 17, we read, and the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, and the bride, that's the church, say, come. And let him that heareth, that's him that is saved, the believers, the saints, who have come themselves, let him that heareth say, come. And let him that is athirst, come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Oh, dear friend, just take God at his word and come to him just as you are in all your sins, and he will not cast you out. Come now, says the Lord, and though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. But there is a time specified in our text. The Lord says, come now. Come now. We must come now. The offer is extended now, and we're called upon to respond to it now, not tomorrow, not a later date or a time yet future. Come now. Come now, for one thing, because of the blessedness of being right with God. That's a wonderful thing. Being reconciled to God is a great treasure. It is a pearl of great price. It brings joy unspeakable and full of glory. And this can be had presently upon our coming to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Peace of mind and of heart are great treasures indeed. Fellowship with God is the way to true happiness, even here below. If we come now, we will know His sweet presence and the comfort and help that only He can give in all life's trials and troubles. So come now. But come now because of the uncertainty of the future. The Scriptures say, and our daily experience bears witness to it, we know not what a day may bring forth. Sudden death may come upon us. God may say, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. The Holy Spirit might cease striving with us. My spirit shall not always strive with man. There may not be a more convenient season. Many obstacles might rise to keep us back from Christ. And what is more, there is no promise of salvation tomorrow. Now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Come because of the immeasurable issues which are at stake. Everlasting life or eternal punishment. Oh, that you would come. Come now and have your sins cleansed and made whiter than the snow. May God bless His word to our hearts. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee so much for Thy word and this gracious invitation, this wonderful promise. We thank Thee for cleansing through the blood of the Lamb. May we all heed the invitation and come and make our garments white. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for spending some time with us today around the Word of God. For further information, visit our website at ltbs.tv. We look forward to joining with you next time as we seek to let the Bible speak once again.